Is guilt and shame ruining your life? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Patty Wilson, who was on our previous show, who felt incredible guilt and shame because of her addiction to cocaine and crack and what it did to her life.
And I think the things that we do and we partake of can really make us feel guilty after we realize the harm and the damage that it's caused ourselves and others. And that happened to me when I came to know the Lord and I started looking back at what I did and the impact that it made in people's lives. I felt guilt and horrible. And honestly, it was very hard for me to even move forward in my life.
Yeah, well, guilt and shame is one of those things can really plague your life, like you said, where you cannot move forward. And the problem is because we're looking back. You know, guilt and shame is where your rearview mirror becomes bigger than the front windshield. The whole time, you're just magnifying to your past incidences. And you're thinking in your mind, why did I do this? Why did I not prepare this right? Why did I mess up? Gosh, my life would be in a different place because of this.
Right.
And we end up beating ourselves up and really not going forward, but instead we're just at a standstill or even at a dangerous moment where we're not really looking where we're supposed
to
be going.
We're looking back in that rearview mirror and we can't go forward. But the Bible says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if Jesus is not condemning us, then why should we condemn ourselves? Why should we live in guilt and shame? You know whose voice we're listening to is the devil. The devil's here to kill, steal, and destroy and to condemn people. But Jesus came to give us life and that abundantly. So we need to listen to the voice of truth. Forgive ourselves. If Jesus can forgive us, we can do that also. Let's hear from Patty Wilson and her story after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by 32nd Avenue Cleaners and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Whether you need your suit, dress shirt, or dress dry cleaned and pressed, come to 32nd Avenue Cleaners to get the best dry cleaning services in Denver. With over 15 years of experience, 32nd Avenue Cleaners is conveniently located at the corner of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard in Denver. Call them today at 303-480-9647. That's 303-480-9647.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Patty Wilson, and she was sharing with us how she was addicted to cocaine, then crack, and it all started after she was diagnosed with stage 4 vaginal cancer. And she was pregnant at the same time, had a 50-50 chance for her survival, for her daughter to survive. And she ended up making it through the pregnancy completely. The child was born, but had to go through radiation treatments. And those radiation treatments took a toll on her.
Yeah.
So she ended up needing something to give her energy and was introduced to cocaine.
Yeah, she just kept looking for energy, found a quick fix, but then it ended up into a life of just a huge amount of addiction and going down the tunnel of addiction.
So let's welcome to the show, Patty. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand that you were on this hamster wheel and you just couldn't get off. Every time you were trying to get help, you were trying to get off of being addicted to crack at this point, it was just way too hard. And even your husband was in denial that you were addicted to this so bad. You had two little kids that you're trying to take care of, and your boss was even making it possible for you to continue to be addicted by giving you lines while you worked at the restaurant. But though you were getting energy, what was this drug doing to your relationships? What was it doing to your family? What was it doing to you emotionally?
Was destroying my marriage. The drugs became more important, and we just fought all the time. And the only time we were even in the room together pretty much anymore, except for maybe dinner with the kids, that type of thing, was when we were getting high. And I think that was a part of my addiction too, was that if I would sit and get high with them, I was accepted. I was kind of welcomed into the group or the room at the time. So it wasn't good. And my self-esteem, I had none. I hated myself. I was just riddled with guilt and shame and hopelessness. I couldn't find a way out.
So, Patty, you had this huge tumor and you would go to get it checked out, but little by little it started to diminish. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, they kept telling me they wanted me to have the chemotherapy, and I just kept saying, no, if I get that desperate, then I'll do it. But in the meantime, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And over time, it just began to disappear on its own.
Wow.
Yeah, even my doctor says it's a miracle.
So it started to disappear. Were you starting to feel more energy, or was it the crack that was still giving you that energy?
Yeah, it was just the drugs. If I wasn't doing the drugs, then I was dragging.
So what happened? You ended up going on some kind of a binge and you were at your lowest point. Tell me about how you were feeling and why you went out on that binge.
My husband gave me all the bill money. I think it was at that time $200, $300 to go pay some bills. And I took all the money and I just went off on a binge for 3 days. I can remember I sat down in the bathroom at the park. And at the end of that, when it was all gone, of course, I had to tell him what I'd done, but also just my guilt and my shame and who are you and the hopelessness. I tried getting help and nothing was working. I tried NA and I just couldn't get any help. I couldn't stop. And at that point, I remember one day I was driving actually over the Merritt Island Bridge. And I thought, you know, it'd be so easy to just turn right off of there and end this whole thing. And then I went home and just dropped to my knees in my living room. And I just started to cry. I said, God, if you're real, you have to show me that you're real. I've got nowhere else to go. I'd called my parents prior to that, a few days before, and finally admitted what I'd done and what I was doing and asked if I could come home and get help. They said, nope, you're on your own. We don't want any part of that. And, you know, they were always there for me my whole life. So that was kind of really my bottom. That was my last hope. So in desperateness, I cried out and I said, God, if you're real, please show me. You have to show me if you're real. And in that instant, this girl came in, walked through my living room door, and she said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God told me I had to come over here right now.
Wow.
And I mean, I knew that he was real. There was nobody there but me alone in that living room. And I cried out and said, God, show me if you're real. And these were some neighbors who had been praying for me and my husband. They'd see us coming in all hours of the night and they'd sit up and pray for us. And when God said, go, she went and she came.
Wow. So that day you called out to Jesus. You didn't even really know what you were doing, but you called out to him to be your savior. And you said, come into my heart and change me. And things started to change for you. You still continued to try doing the drug, but things were different. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I had stopped pretty much talking things and going to buy the drugs at that point. But every time my husband brought it home, I would do it. I couldn't stop. I just look at it. My whole body would just convulse. And you'd have to do it because you felt like if you didn't, you were going to die and your heart would burst. So I kept telling him, please stop bringing it home. You have to stop bringing it home. And he wouldn't. So, of course, you do it again. The next thing you know, I had taken my ring already and hocked it, my wedding ring. And at that point, I took his and hocked it. So he finally said, okay, this is it. This has to stop. So he stopped bringing it home. So it was a gradual thing. I think it was about 9 months before I totally stopped. I did it less and less and less as time went on, and the urge grew lesser and lesser. And I remember even those times when I would do it, you know, the guilt was just crazy. And well, this is terrible, but this is how bad that addiction is. At one point, I can remember I dropped some crack on the kitchen floor. And I remember saying, if you help me find this, I'll never do it again. You know, and then you pick it up and you do it again. And it's just crazy. I mean, that's how crazy that stuff is.
Wow. A total slave to that drug. And it was destroying your family and everyone's lives in your life. And you even had a minor heart attack after that and had heart problems. problems due to it, but God has healed you in a way where you're not even addicted to it and you're free from it. And there are people listening now who need that freedom. And there are people praying for them, just like your neighbor prayed for you. You also had your aunt praying for you. You had a woman who was friends of your husband who was praying for you. People were gathering around unbeknownst to them. And I believe that for our listeners right now, that there are people praying for you. You don't even know it. And if you're listening to this show, it's because God is calling you out and saying, it's time to turn to me. Drop the drugs. I'm enough for you. Patty, what would you say to those who are listening now who are addicted to drugs or who have family members who are addicted to drugs? What would you say?
I would say, pray. Ask him to show you if he's real, because he loves you and he's got a plan and he's the only one who can really make that way out for you. And don't give up. Get help. Tell somebody. When you expose those secrets, you get free. But most of all, it begins with crying out to the Lord. Help me. Get honest with him. Ask him to come in. Take my life. Take hold of my heart. Change me. And he will.
Amen. And what's something short you can say to someone who's really praying for their family member or friend, just to continue praying for them? Is there anything else they can do?
Pray, absolutely. You know, pray first and pray for God to just prepare their hearts. I know that after I had given my heart to the Lord, I had many family members also in addiction. And I would just pray for God to open the door. And most of them would say, you know, I saw such a difference in you that I had to cry out to him to see if he could do the same thing for me. Mm. And, you know, he has.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Patty, for sharing your powerful testimony with us. We appreciate you. And we're going to pray for our listeners now.
Thanks.
You know, the more and more I hear about drug addiction and these types of things, is the more I'm understanding that these addictions are like the death grip of the devil. It is something that is craftily designed to destroy the lives of men and women all around us. And maybe you know someone who's in this death grip, or maybe you yourself are in this death grip. I want to pray for you right now. If you're in any of this situation, and if you're listening and you don't know anyone, please join me in prayer for this, because these things really are such a tight grip on people's lives that there really needs to be a miracle to set people free. The good news is the Bible says Jesus sets the captives free. Mm-hmm. That's why he came. He came for the drug addict. So Jesus, we call upon your name for our mother, our brother, our sister, our sons, our daughters. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would break this death grip of the devil in Jesus' name over their lives. And we pray, Father God, these chains and these shackles to be dropped to the ground,
Jesus.
And for them to be break free, but most of all, for them to know you, God.
Yes, God.
And maybe someone who's listening saying, I'm dealing with this. I don't know where else to turn. Just say this with me, my friends. Say, Jesus, I turn to you. Reveal yourself to me now. I need you now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. He will set you free. You're listening to Real Life.